Rust sank back in his chair and put a pale hand over his face. In Ankh-Morpork, the night had 1,000 eyes, and so did the day, and it also had 500 mouths and 999 ears. Sidney Lopsides again.
"The Clachians must know, then," he said. "A detachment of Ankh-Morpork soldiery has taken ship for Clatch, an invasion force."
"Oh, you could hardly call it," Lieutenant Hornet began.
"The Clachians will call it that. Besides, the troll Detritus is with them," said Rust.
Hornet looked glum. Detritus was an invasion force all by himself.
"What ships have we commandeered?" said Rust.
"There's more than 20 now, if you include the Indestructible, the Indolence, and the—" Lieutenant Hornet looked at his list again. "And the Prid of Ankh-Morpork, sir."
"The Prid?"
"I'm afraid so, sir."
"We should be able to take more than 1,000 men and 200 horses, then."
"Why not let Vimes go?" said Lord Salachi. "Let the Clachians deal with him, and good riddance."
"And give them a victory over Ankh-Morpork forces? That's how they will see it, damn the man. He forces our hand. But still, perhaps it is for the best. We should embark."
"Are we entirely ready, sir?" said Lieutenant Hornet, with the special inflection that means, "We are not entirely ready, sir."
"We had better be. Glory awaits, gentlemen. In the words of General Tacticus, let us take history by the scrotum." Of course, he was not a very honourable fighter.
White sunlight etched dark shadows in Prince Kadram's palace. He too had a map of Clatch, made of tiny coloured tiles set into the floor. He sat looking at it pensively.
"Just one boot," he said.
General Ashel, his chief adviser, nodded, and added,
"Our scryers can't get a very clear picture over that distance, but we do believe one of the men to be Vimes. You recall the name, sire?"
"Ah, the useful Commander Vimes," the prince smiled.
"Indeed, and since then there has been a lot of activity all along the docks. We have to take the view that the expeditionary force is setting out."
"I thought we had at least a week, Ashal."
"It is certainly puzzling. They cannot possibly be prepared, sire. Something must have happened."
Kadram sighed.
"Oh, well, let us follow where fate points the way. Where will they attack?"
"Gebra, sire. I'm sure of it."
"Our most heavily fortified city? Surely not. Only an idiot would do that."
"I have studied Lord Rust in some depth, sire. Remember that he doesn't expect us to fight, so the size of our forces really doesn't worry him."
The general smiled. It was a neat, thin little smile.
"And of course, in attacking us, he is piling infamy upon infamy. The other coastal states will take note."
"A change of plan, then," said Kadram. "Ankh-Morpork can wait."
"A wise move, sire, as always."
"Any news of my poor brother?"
"Alas, no, sire."
"Our agents must search harder. The world is watching, Ashal."
"Correct, sire."
"Sarge?"
"Yes, Nobby? Tell me again about our special qualities."
"Shut up and keep peddling, Nobby."
"Right, Sarge."
It was quite dark in the boat. A candle swung from a bracket over Leonard of Querm's bowed head as he sat steering with two levers. Around Nobby, pulleys rattled and little chains clicked. It was like being inside a sewing machine. A damp one, too. Condensation dropped off the ceiling in a steady stream. They had been peddling for 10 minutes. Leonard had spent most of the time talking excitedly. Nobby got the impression he didn't get out much. He talked about everything. There were the tanks of air, for example. Nobby was happy to accept that you could squeeze air up really small, and that was what was in the groaning, creaking, steel-bound casks strapped to the walls. It was what happened to the air afterwards that came as a surprise.
"Bubbles," said Leonard. "Dolphins again, you see. They don't swim through the water, they fly through a cloud of bubbles, which is much easier, of course. I add a little soap, which seems to improve matters."
"He thinks dolphins fly, Sarge," whispered Nobby.
"Just keep peddling."
Sergeant Colon risked a glance behind him. Lord Vetinari was sitting on an upturned box amidst the clicking chains with several of Leonard's sketches open on his knees.